No? Okay. God, let your words be my words, and my words be your words. Amen. Trust me, Gavin. Just trust me. Those are the words my sister said to me when I was 4 years old at our farm in Brenham, Texas. Now, we had a farm. It was a great place. We still have it. We love going there. And my sister was 7 years old and I was four, and she says, just trust me. You know, when you hear those words now, you're kind of at an alarm. But I didn't know any better. And she told me that our farm was a special place, that our farm had chocolate mud. And she said, come with me. And she took us to this horse trough that we had, and we would swim in it sometimes, but it was drained and it was muddy. And we got inside, and she gave me some spoons. And all I could think about was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Have you seen that, where everything's chocolate and candy? I thought, oh my gosh, we hit the jackpot. Like, our farm has chocolate mud. And so she got a spoon, I had a spoon, and I started eating and eating and eating mud. And it was the best chocolate mud I've ever tasted. I had so much fun. I spent hours probably doing it, off and on, making sandcastles and mud castles and eating it. And I went back home and back to the farm. My mom's like, what have you been up to today? And I said, I've been eating the chocolate mud. And she's like, what do you mean, like pudding, Oreos? And I'm like, no, like the mud. It's chocolate. Whitney's been feeding it to me. All right, you know what mom rage is? You know what mom rage is? That happened. So she called 911, and everybody was kind of freaking out, and I was just kind of sitting there. And the 911 people calmed her down, and they said, don't worry, just feed him liquid soap. And so my mom comes to me and says, Gavin, drink this, trust me. This is a true story. She was here, she could vouch for it. And so it was liquid Ivory soap. I still can't even smell Ivory soap dish soap. And so she squirts it in a cup, she puts a little bit of water in it, and she drinks it. Or I drink it. And I'm like, what's supposed to happen now? She's like, you're supposed to throw up the mud. Nothing happened. She's like, drink more. I drink more. Nothing happens. I'm like burping up bubbles, basically. I'm like, I'm fine. And then mom rage kicked in again, and she called 911, and like, okay, now he needs to come to the hospital. I went to the hospital. Whatever they did, it worked. The mud and the soap was no longer, and I felt much better. But I remember going back in the car, and my sister was just crying. My dad was probably yelling at her. My mom was hysterical. It was still kind of a stressful situation. But I remember going home thinking, I can no longer trust anyone. What in the world? I mean, these people are said they're supposed to love me, you know? Why would they try to hurt me? I remember that vividly in that moment. You know, today is our second part of our series called Animated Gospels. Last week, Eric gave an awesome sermon about Remember Me in the movie Coco. And he talked about how there's strength in remembrance, in remembering our families, our holy communities. And then when we have that remembrance, we celebrate that remembrance, and he played the song Remember Me, there is strengthening in our communities. Today, I decided to talk about two things. First, Snow White, all the way to the movie Frozen. Because when I was thinking about animated features, right, we're supposed to talk, next week we're talking about Moana, and the next week is Lego Movie. And I was like, what was the very first animated movie? And you have to give a lot of credit to Walt Disney, right? He made the very first animated full-length feature, but he started out actually with Steamboat Willie. And I think we have a picture of that. He wrote a movie, a short film called Steamboat Willie with his best friend Mickey Mouse. And then he made a few more short films after that, and they won up some Academy Awards. But in 1930, he had a vision. He had a vision to make a full-length feature cartoon in all color. And people said, it's not possible. We don't have enough technology. It's just not able to be done. But this is what Walt Disney said. He said, we keep moving forward, opening new doors, and doing new things, because we are curious, and our curiosity keeps us leading down new paths. In 1937, he finished the full-length feature called Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. The next year it came out, and it got a lot of praise and acclamation, later won an Academy Award. And There it is, the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. He went on to make Dumbo and Pinocchio and Cinderella and Alice in Wonderland and all these great movie classics and cartoons that we know. But there's something a little odd about these movies, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. If you remember this story, Snow White was the stepdaughter of this queen who always wanted to be the prettiest and fairest of them all. And she would always ask the magic mirror, "Who is that?" And then when Snow White became older, she started saying, "Snow White is the fairest of them all." Well, the queen did not like that and sent her off in the woods to be killed. And the lynchman, he had some compassion and let Snow White escape. And the queen thought she was dead. And as she was in the woods, Snow White found a house and a cottage, and it was really filthy. And she cleaned it and made it nicer. And she stayed there. And then when she was sleeping, the guys that owned the house came in, seven of them, very confused why their house was clean. And they met Snow White, and they became really, really good friends. Here are the seven dwarfs right here. If you go to the next slide, we have Sneezy, Grumpy, Sleepy, Dopey, Bashful Doc, and Happy. Those knuckleheads right there became Snow White's best friends. And each of them had different personalities and contributed to the community. Each of them offered something, a unique version of their own love. I don't know. I think Doc is Eric. You know, doesn't that look like Eric? I think I'm Dopey. But or Snow White. Yeah, I'm Snow White. And she fell in love with this community, but the queen quickly realized that she was still alive because the mirror told her. And she went out and poisoned Snow White with an apple, and that put her into a deep sleep or death. Her friends were very sad. They put on a memorial service. They left her in a state of repose, and they left her there. And the story is that she was in this spell, and the only thing that she could be saved by was some type of romantic love from like a Prince Charming-like character. And at the end, guess what? Prince Charles. Maybe it was Prince Charles. Prince Charming came and saved the day. And if a lot of these princess movies after that had this same theme, that they relied on this romantic love to save the day, this Prince Charming and Sleeping Beauty and all these other princess-like movies from Disney and then other outside of Disney's. And this lasted for many, many, many years. Until 2013, a movie called Frozen came out, and we have that, Frozen right there, 75 years after Snow White. And it starts out kind of similar. There are two princesses in this movie, they are right there. The one on your left in the blonde hair is Elsa. She is the oldest, and she is the heir to her parents' throne of Arendelle, this magic kingdom. And her little sister is Anna, and she is best friends with Elsa. And they were best friends, and every day they played together. And they quickly realized when they were little that Elsa had a special gift, a special power, where everything she touched would turn into ice or snow. And they used it to their advantage, right? They would create snow piles and make it snow inside their castle and have the best time of their lives. Until one day, Elsa kind of used her powers differently, accidentally, and kind of partially froze Anna. Well, to be fair, her parents were concerned. They were worried, and after some thinking, they decided to put Elsa in exile in her own chambers in their castle and separate her from everybody else. That they were afraid that her powers would be exploited and people wouldn't understand and that she'd be misunderstood, and so the thing they thought to do was separate. And this made Anna very confused and upset that she lost her sister. Well, then, like in so many times, by the way, who's a parent in the room? Parents? Disney does not like you guys. They think a good plot is to kill off the parents. This happens in almost every Disney movie, not even the princess ones, like every movie. And so sorry about that, this is not against parents, but Disney feels like that's a thing. And it happened here in Frozen. Her parents were killed in a shipwreck. And so Elsa now was the queen. And there was a coronation day. And everybody was coming to Arendelle to celebrate this coronation day. And they had to open up the castle and welcome everyone. And she met her sister again for the very first time on that day. And her sister was thrilled to see Elsa. But Elsa was very concerned that her powers would once again be kind of activated in the wrong way. And she would start freezing things. Well, coronation day was pretty stressful. It was pretty a big deal. And to make a long story short, she did. She started freezing things. And so it started worrying people and herself, and people kind of were startled and concerned, and so she fled. She left Arendelle, and she went to the highest mountain, far away, where no one could bother her. You know, she went to and built an ice castle on her own, and she sings the song, Let It Go. I'm not going to sing it for you, but she sings the song, Let It Go, and she lets go all of her burdens. She feels like she can be free and alone if she doesn't have to, you know, burden anybody with these powers or gifts that people can misunderstand and misuse and mistrust. You know, I kind of like Elsa. I'm not gonna lie. I feel a lot like her sometimes. Remember that mud, the chocolate mud? A few weeks after I got back to school, the teacher told us to write a book. And they gave us this exact piece of paper. This is it. This is the real thing. And so she gave us a book that was kind of stapled, but it was blank. And she said, you can write any book you want. And so I did. And I wrote a book called I Am the Boss This Year. And I'm gonna read it to you guys. It's I Am the Boss This Year. And then you go to the next one. There it is, the author, Gavin Rogers. I'm also the illustrator. Not a very good one. But here it is. This is how I thought. You can't have food for 100 years. I can have the food, all the food. And there it is. I'm eating with my dog, and my parents are there with my sister, very sad. The next one. You can't watch TV for 100 years. I do. And there it is, watching TV and excluding my family. Next slide, this is crazy. You can't go to the bathroom for 100 years, but I can. I'm sitting on the toilet, my feet are in the toilet, I don't know why. But obviously my mom, I think, is in the middle, is not liking that 100-year ban on going to the bathroom. Here's the next one. You can't go outside all year, but I can. And then the last one is, I'm the boss of the year, nice conclusion, but you err not. I was upset, right? My sister, who's now 40, she's still grounded. Yeah, it's nice. But that was the book. And so I kind of connect with Elsa. I understand what it's like, and we all do, what it likes to feel like we have to live life on our own. We can't rely on other people. We can't really trust other people. But luckily, I had good people in my life. I had my sister still, and my parents, and my friends, and they wouldn't obviously allow me to stay that way. Same with Elsa's little sister, Anna. She sought after her sister, tried to find her, went through snow in the woods, and found her on that high mountain, and told her that everything's going to be okay. They can come down this mountain together. They can face this challenge together. And I'm going to play you this clip, this time where her sister finds Elsa on the mountain and tries to convince her to come back home.
You don't have to protect me. I'm not afraid. Please don't shut me out again. Please don't slam the door. You don't have to keep your distance anymore. Cause for the first time in forever, I finally understand. For the first time in forever, we can fix this hand in hand. We can head down this mountain together. You don't have to live in fear. Cause for the first time in forever, I will be right here.
Anna, please go back home. Your life awaits. Go enjoy the sun and open up the gates.
Yeah, but I know
you mean well, but leave me be. Yes, I'm alone, but I'm alone and free. What do you mean you're not?
I get the feeling you don't know.
What do I not know?
Arendelle's in deep, 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 deep snow.
What?
You kind of set off an eternal winter everywhere.
Everywhere?
Well, it's okay, you can just unfreeze it.
No, I can't. I don't know how.
Sure you can. I know you can.
Cause for the first time in forever,
oh, I'm such a fool. I can't be
free.
To be
no escape from the storm inside.
We can hold ourselves together.
I can't control the curse.
We'll reverse the storm.
Oh, Mama, please, you'll only make it worse.
So panic.
There's so much fear.
Sunshine
bright. You're not safe here.
We can face this thing together. We can change.
I can connect with Elsa. You know, the first time you're approached with something, a hard truth in your life, it's kind of hard to accept. When you're so used to being alone and living life on your own. So, in this part of the story, Elsa decides not to go back. And the town gets colder and colder, and even her sister finally ends up being frozen with part of the entire town, and the town is just going to get colder and colder and colder. And to break this spell, to unfreeze this situation, true love needed to happen. But unlike a lot of other Disney movies, it wasn't the Prince Charming type of love. It wasn't the romantic kiss. It was an agape love, a love without condition, a love that is sacrificial. It takes that type of love. A communal love, a love that is beyond sometimes our own understanding. That's the kind of gospel in a nutshell, in an agape type of love. And so Elsa realizes at the end she has to go back. She has to go after her sister and make things right. And she goes back down to Arendelle, where everything is now very, very cold. And she sees her sister who's now frozen, and there's some conflict. I won't try to give too much away. But at the end, it was the love, the sacrificial love that Elsa had that was able to unfreeze the situation. It wasn't Prince Charming. It was a much deeper love, a love that means much more. That's the gospel in the nutshell. In a nutshell, that's it. Frozen gives a good representation of the gospel. Scripture says, God will not stay silent. God will not slumber nor sleep. God is everlasting to everlasting. That type of love, that type of trust in your life can never give you a moment to doubt that you can ever give up. Because God has never given up on any of you. He has not given up on us. That type of love can unfreeze the situation, can save us, can renew us, can transform us and use our gifts. People often see as problems as good gifts. That's the gospel. There was a monk named Dorothesos in the 4th century, right? He made an illustration. I'm going to conclude with this. And if you have a piece of paper, you can draw a circle on a piece of paper. It's a fun illustration. You can join along. And so he draws a circle. And he says that we're all on this circle somewhere. So you can label it the world. You can say it's us. But all of us are on this circle, and in our spiritual life, because we are drawn to the love of God, we want to draw closer to God. And so he would draw from a point where he considers himself at all the way to the center. You can put a cross, you can put the word God, any word. You can just put another circle. And he says, if we all do this, there'll be a bunch of lines on the circle. And it's, we have it on the screen as well. And that's Dorothesos there in the 4th century. He looks pretty bummed out. I think he's bummed because his table's so small. Look at that. He has such a big book and a tiny table. That's got to be frustrating. But he draws this circle. I drew it like this. He drew it like that. And he says that as we get closer to God, we also get closer to other people, right? So as we're getting closer to God, I'm also getting closer to the other people in the circle. And he says, and you can't have it any other way. You might be the kind of person that says, you know what? I want to grow close to God, but I just don't like other people, right? I just don't like getting close to other people. But that's not the Christian gospel. It could be some gospel, but it's not the Christian gospel. You don't get to pick and choose who you become close to. You can't exclude people because of the color of their skin or where they're born or what country they live in or their sexuality or their political party. You just don't get to pick, I'm only going to grow closer to people who agree with me 100%. God calls us, even in Romans 12 that we read, to even love and grow close to our enemy. That's the type of love that can free us. That's the type of love that can make us unfrozen. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. Let your spiritual fervor serve. Be hopeful in joy, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with people who are in need and practice hospitality. I like that word, practice. It doesn't say perfect hospitality. It doesn't say get it right the first time hospitality. It means we can mess up and try again. We can mess up and try one more time. Because there'll be one day we get it right. Because that's what the gospel allows. God came near through Jesus Christ and became close to us so that we can better understand God. And if we truly believe that, and if you look around this room and see the diversity, and you see that everyone is living and breathing images of God, if we truly want to get close to one another, we got to get close to God. But if we're going to get close to God, we have to get close to other people. That is the beauty of the gospel. You know, that's probably a love that I can trust. Amen.
So as we continue our work of experiencing God's healing so that we can share it, becoming unfrozen, we get to come now in prayer. I'm happy to receive your prayer cards. Pastor Gavin brought up prayer requests from Corazon Breakfast. If you'd like a hug, I'm happy to give it to you, or you can just hand me your prayer cards. Let's enter this time of reflection and bring our prayers.
Appreciate it.
Bless you, Harlan. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan.
God bless you this morning.
Senator McCain and his family.
Yes. God bless you this morning.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you. bless you. God bless you, Carl. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that we can bring all our burdens before you, and God, share our joys. You are the source of all good gifts, and you know our needs. God, we pray for those who come in grief this morning. We pray for those who are looking for jobs, for housing. God, for all the ways that we need healing individually and as a people, for the ways that your church needs healing, for the ways that our city and our nation and our world, God, you know these needs. And so would you cover us with your love? Would you hold us in your embrace? Would you help us to draw closer to you and to one another? Would you keep us? God, we thank you for all those who we can pray for, God, that we are not just praying for ourselves, but we're bringing requests before you. And so, loving God, we thank you that you know these